Morning, everyone. Atamare. The first reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 5 and 12 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of Christ. Teronga pai tene a te karaiti.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I know, I didn't realise that was so scary, honestly. I wondered if you guys were listening to that gospel reading that we just had. Can you remember the name of the main character? No? Is it... Well, Jesus was one of the people, wasn't he? And then there was Philip. Jesus was the son of Joseph, wasn't he? And then there was Nathaniel. Is there any Nathaniels here? I know there's a Nathan. Anyway, so the thing about Nathaniel was he was busy. It must have been a hot day. It's quite hot today. It's been very hot this week, hasn't it? And so he was sitting in a field under a fig tree. Well, we don't know if it was a field, but he was sitting under a fig tree by himself, just chilling out. And then a little while later, his friend Philip came along, because he'd met Jesus and he was really inspired. And he said to him, "Hey, Nathaniel, I have found God's answer for the world in Nazareth." And do you know what Nathaniel said? He said, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Why can anything good come from there? It's a bit rude, isn't it? It's a bit on the nose. Anyway, Nathaniel thought he'd better go and investigate and see if Philip was right about this. And so he walked off, probably with Philip, and Jesus saw him coming towards him. And he said to him, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Because he told the truth, he put it right out there what he thought about Nazareth, didn't he? Oh, Nathaniel had never met Jesus before. And he said to Jesus, "How do you know me? How do you know me? Oh, I've got to tell you. Have you ever seen a fig tree? This is a fig tree. Quite cool, hey?" And anyway, Nathaniel was pretty shocked, I think. If someone was to say to you that they saw you under a fig tree before your friend came to see you, wouldn't you be a bit surprised? Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised. And when he says that to him, Nathaniel says, "You have got to be God. There is no way that anyone else would know that I was sitting under a fig tree before Philip came along." You know, God didn't just see Nathaniel. He sees all of us, all the time. Which is fantastic in many ways. A little scary sometimes. You can see him in the sky? Yeah, he's with us. He's up there, but he's also here, right here, isn't he? In our hearts. Yep, he's in everything around us. Under your foot, do you think so? If you say so, okay. But you know, unlike Santa Claus, Jesus loves us when we're naughty or when we're nice. He does. He loves us when we're naughty and when we're nice. And he loves us so much, and he wants to be our friend even when we're naughty. Yeah, that is my name. Isn't that pretty amazing? And he must be... Well, this is because Jesus was superhuman. Yeah. And you know that he wants to be our friend, each of us. He wants to be friends with every one of us. Everyone in the whole entire world. And you know what you have to do to be a friend of his? You don't know? What do you have to do?
Pray.
Yeah. What are you going to do is ask, eh?
Just ask him. Do you agree?
Yeah. That's all. Okay, so that's what I was going to say to you guys. You're welcome to stay and listen to the rest, or I was hoping that the pens are still at the back there. Oh, they aren't? There might be some pens next door. Anyway, I've got some pictures of some fig leaves here, and you could, if you can find some pens, you fill them in now. Or you put your hand, draw your hand into the fig leaf, or write things about God in the fig leaf. So, do you want to take one of those? And does somebody want to just go and ask one of these other kids? Any other kids that are out there? Just pull them off those. Take the whole pile with you. And do the same thing for them.
So, yeah.
Okay? Fantastic. Off you go. So that's part one. I hope you're all listening. It's a surprise for all of us, doesn't it? Didn't want to pull down. Okay. Isn't it amazing how intimate the readings that we've got for today are? They're so personal, I find. And, you know, I wondered when I was reading the New Testament reading whether the words of that psalm popped into Nathaniel's head when Jesus said to him, you know, I saw you when you were still under the fig tree before God came. And the psalms are amazing because they've been around for something like 3,000 years, if not all. Some of them might predate that, not just when they were written down. And yet they are still relevant to us today, aren't they? You know, and they're, I think it's because they're about the human condition. It's about what life's really like. Some of it's good news, and sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But they really describe God's constant presence, how he responds to us. And the Revised New Bible Commentary talks about how, you know, it's about humans who are wrestling with issues and testing and finding that God is there for them, in them. Now, Psalm 139 is what I nickname my salvation psalm. It's the psalm that I go to when I need to recenter, when I want to just get back tuned in. It's a tete-a-tete, a real quiet conversation between me and God. And I really encourage you, if you haven't recently, to set aside some time to sit and reflect and journey with God through this psalm. I just guarantee that you will find wonderful things. Jeremy Whelan says that, hang on, just going to find a quote, about the psalm, he says, it draws us into a mystery. I cannot know God's knowledge of me, but I can name it, and I can wander at it and rejoice in it. From its opening verses, the psalm talks about how God is always there, that he sees my every action, my every thought, and every word, and that's pretty sobering in a sensible kind of way. I mean, I'm a simple human daring to talk with God. Matt Redman sings a song, he didn't actually write it, that says, I'll let my words be few. Because you are God in heaven and I am man on earth. In this relationship, in this conversation, there is no room for secrets, no point in having them. What has been. What is. And my future, well, that's in God's hands. And I rely on God, who knows everything and who loves me, sometimes anyway. He knows whenever I go out to face the world, that's fine. And he knows when I lie down, he knows my need for rest. He knows every foot and the space that I have with him. He follows behind me. And he picks up the pieces sometimes. He's there to defend me. He goes ahead to lead and to guide and to reassure I know the blessing of his constant presence, of his knowledge and his love. And in the second part that we read today, I hear and I reflect that he knows exactly how I was made. Every muscle, every bone, every organ. And he knows my soul, my inmost being. He knows I've got a sore thumb. He knows where I'm frustrated or anxious. And like all scripture, the Psalms can speak into our life. God often uses it. I mean, even some of those songs we sung this morning are directly from the Psalms. 2,000 years old. Still with me. This book contains the words of life. And I thought I'd give one life example from mine. It was 1996. I was living in South Africa. And my brother Peter had already moved to New Zealand and had met a lovely girl, Michelle, who's now my sister-in-law. And they had come out to South Africa to meet us. And when they were there, you could see the sparkle, as some people say, of little children in their eyes. It's true, though. And in that hope, I think, my parents applied for papers to come to New Zealand. I didn't know. I wasn't told for two reasons. The one was that I was in a relationship, which at that time I thought would end in marriage. And my parents also didn't know that they would be accepted. Anyway, a little while later, life threw a curveball one day. And it became apparent on this particular day that that relationship was not going to be the one that I had dreamed that it would. I was stunned, so I did what most people do in those situations, and I went home. Run hard. And I expected to be alone, but I opened the front door, and my mother was standing just, I mean, I almost walked into her, she was standing just inside the front door with a letter in her hand, which she instantly hid behind her. And then she said, I said, what is it? And she said, I suppose we'll have to tell you at some point. This letter says that we have our papers to move to New Zealand. And I just saw my world disintegrate. So I went to hide in my room. I thought at least there I would be safe. And I did what people do in desperate situations. I said, Lord, where are you in all of this? And I took this Bible, my trusty Bible, looking a bit worse for it. And I just let it fall open on the bed. It probably won't fall in the right place today, but it fell there. It's not quite the middle, it just happened to fall on that page. And I read what it says at the beginning of that page. It says, Psalm 139, verses 8. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There was no more doubt in my mind. Instantly, I'm sure I was saved by things. But I had no doubt. I had absolute security. I remembered that God had planned every day assigned for my life. That even if I was 12,000 kilometers away, which is roughly what it is between Johannes Luke and Mark and Lane. Jesus was right on his side. And he knew that day that I needed to read that he was going to be there, even if I was on the other side of the world. So I have come back to that psalm many times. And I have rewritten it many times. As a way to open my heart again, to open my mind, to adopt the right attitude to hear God. To say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And reconciliation, I just want to come back to Nathaniel. And that very last thing that Jesus says to Nathaniel, he says, you will see the Son of God as a bridge on which the angels can go. And that's what Jesus is. He's a bridge. He's the one that made it possible for us to be reconciled. And he is such a good friend. He says much later in John that he wants us to receive the full measure of his joy within. And the Apostle Paul, he might also have been thinking about the psalm when he wrote 1 Corinthians 13 about looking in a mirror and knowing as I am fully known by God. The psalms are a wonderful gift for us to revisit time again, to bring a situation forward and to meet with God, to look at ourselves and to reflect on God. I encourage you to take another look. I'm going to read you a poem that I wrote one of the many times that I rewrote this. It's called Soft Eyes. And it's to Jesus. Hey, Soft Eyes, what are you looking at? I notice the wrinkles as he responds with a wry smile. You? Me? Not much to see here, I say. You're kidding, right? He says. You're amazing and beautiful. He says, looking more serious. Oh, go on, now you've made me wriggle. And I look away. As I glance back, his eyes smile again and he says, you are shy. It's true, I've forgotten. I've come such a long way since I buried that and came out to make a difference in the world. I've decided I could no longer afford to stay shy. I love you, he says. Couldn't love you anymore. And I like that you're shy. All the more for me, he says it like a woman's chant. Will the world peace go away, I ask? It won't, he says, not yet. But snuggle in until you're ready. Then we can face it again. I thought to close, there's an old song which is based on the last four lines of the psalm, so I thought we could sing that together. Thank you.
as we come. Thank you, Penny, for sharing your testimony. One of my favourite verses, fearfully and wonderfully made. Absolutely amazing. As we come before God in this communion, as we come together, know that we're all welcome, come as you are. God can still see the beauty of this creation in us, despite our flaws, despite our age, whatever it is, God sees the heart of his mother and mother, fearfully and wonderfully made. Bless the knowledge of God for us. The Lord is here.
God is here.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
We lift them to the Lord. We thank you, Father, for your great love for us, for sending us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. For now, with all the people around the world and the saints and angels in heaven and on earth, we praise your name together, saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
And as we remember your Son Jesus, the good things he did, the people he healed, the way he served, send your Holy Spirit upon us, so that this bread and wine that we have receive may be the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends. In taking bread, he gave it to them, broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which I've given for you. Do this to remember us. Same way after supper, he took the cup and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We thank you, Father, that Jesus has broken the power of death and is alive forevermore. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now to empower us to live lives like Jesus in humility, full of love for each other, for you, and for this world you long to save. United in Christ with all, we stand before you on earth and heaven. We worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise.
It's a blessing, honor, and glory of yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen.
In this deep as Christ teaches us, let us pray the Lord's Prayer by singing it together.
Amen.
te kahui, a te atua. Kai mai, ki te tetu atua.